I want to bring you a word of greeting from Wycliffe Church in Sheffield. Wendy and I, we moved to Sheffield in 2001 to take up being a pastor of a church there, which is on the edge of the city centre. If any of you are in Sheffield, you'd be very welcome to come along. We covet your prayers for us as we seek to reach out with the gospel. We're about 31 different nationalities in the church, so it's people from all over the world, which we thank God for. And we're hoping very soon, the next few weeks, to start some more evangelistic outreach, door-to-door visits in the area around the church. And we're looking to God to guide us, perhaps, to call an evangelist to come and work alongside one or two of us who are already working in the church there. So I covet your prayers for that, and I'm so glad to have the invitation to come to be here today. Really, Karen sent me a really nice email a little while ago, and that's what happened. Sometimes God knows exactly just the right time. I was feeling a bit discouraged, one or two things, and Karen sent me a really encouraging email. And I thought, oh boy, that's really so nice of her. I wrote back, and through that, this invitation to come has arisen. So I'm so glad to be with you today. And I trust God will bless us as we come around his word together. If you've got a Bible, it would be useful to have it nearby, because we're not going to look at just one passage, but I want to look with you at a life story, quite briefly, John Mark, and then to draw out from this life story some lessons for us for today. And John would have been this man's Hebrew or Jewish name, and Mark would have been his Gentile or Roman name. And we find out in the Acts of the Apostles quite a bit about this young man. He was the son of a woman called Mary. Mary was a very common name in the New Testament. Mary lived in Jerusalem. She was perhaps a wealthy woman. She owned a house where Christians met together to worship. And when Peter was released from prison, it was to Mary's house that he went. He knew that the Christians would be meeting together there to pray. Be a good thing, wouldn't it, on Thursday night, your prayer meeting in Bible studies, people would say, oh, I know where John, I know where Mary, I know where Peter will be on Wednesday night. They'll be at the prayer meeting. See, Peter knew when he was released, the Christians would be praying at Mary's house. So, that's where he went, and that's where this young man, John Mark, was brought up. Now, we know from Colossians 4 that he was the cousin of a man called Barnabas. Barnabas was from Cyprus, and Barnabas was the son of encouragement. So Barnabas, John Mark's cousin, they accompanied Paul on his first missionary journey, and we read about it in Acts 13. But then, as the story unfolds, we find there's this problem. John Mark decided that he's had enough, and he goes home. He goes back to Jerusalem. And that led to a disagreement between Paul and Barnabas. So these two great Christian leaders, they have a difference of opinion about this young man, John Mark. And Paul was so unhappy with John Mark that he refused to take him on his second missionary journey. Barnabas suggested they should take him, but Paul said no. On our first journey, he deserted, he went back to Jerusalem. I can't trust him to take him with us again. I don't want to take him. And there's this difference of opinion. And so in the end, Paul goes with Silas. Barnabas takes John Mark, and we lose sight of John Mark for quite a few years in the Bible account. But then we find something has happened. We don't know all the details, but John Mark and Paul are reconciled. Something happened. God's restoring grace in the life of John Mark to draw him back. And John Mark is restored and becomes again a useful servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when Paul was in prison in Rome, we find that Mark helped Paul while he was in prison. He became a sort of messenger, a delegate, sent by Paul from Rome to Asia Minor. And later on, still, we find that Paul asked Timothy to bring John Mark with him, because he would be useful to him. As Paul sought to serve God, this young man, bring him with you, he says to Timothy, he'll be a great help to me. Just read a couple of verses with me from 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy 4, verses 9, 10 and 11. Here's Paul writing to Timothy in this Bible, page 1058. Be diligent to come to me quickly, Paul says to Timothy. For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica. So there may be someone here this morning, and the pull of living in this part of London, with all the pressures, just to live for yourself, to live for money, to live for other things other than God, that pull becomes strong to draw you away from God. Well, here's someone who's like a warning to us. Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. See, who's first in your life? Who are you living for? Who's at the centre? Is Jesus Christ at the centre? Be careful, something else could come in and push Jesus Christ out from that central place he should have. That's what happened to Demas. Crescens for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark, that's the same man, John Mark. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry. And John Mark didn't only help Paul, but when we turn to 1 Peter, we find that when Peter was writing his first epistle from Rome, Peter mentions him too. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 13, she who is in Babylon, Babylon may be a code word there for Rome. Christians were under persecution. Roman emperor. We're going to think about it tonight. Babylon is often a picture in the Bible for opposition, persecution, enmity against the Church of Jesus Christ. She was in Babylon, elect together with you, greets you, as does Mark, there's our man again, John Mark, my son, Peter says. Now, probably doesn't mean they're literally physically in his family, but a son in the faith. Someone who's learnt the gospel from Paul and from Peter, that there is a saviour from heaven, Jesus Christ, who freely forgives those who turn to him and repent and turn around in their life. They've been living for themselves. They turn away from that lifestyle to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ with all their heart. Have you done that? Jesus Christ is your Lord, your Saviour, your King. He's at the centre of your life. You're seeking first. There are other things that are important, but first important. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Don't be diverted away from that. And here's a young man. Peter can say he's my son in the faith, I think. Were trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. It may well be that John Mark's close relationship with the Apostle Peter was what led him to write that portrait, that picture of the Lord Jesus Christ that we have in the 16 chapters of the Gospel according to Mark. There he is again. John Mark. We know that Peter was intending before his death to make a permanent record of all that he'd seen and heard in the life, death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to Peter writing about it. He says, "Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things about Jesus, after my decease, after I've died. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables," it was just a made-up story, "when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. I saw these things," Peter says. "And before I die, I'd like to have a permanent record of those things that I saw with my own eyes, heard with my own ears, regarding the Lord Jesus Christ." And many people think that when Peter wanted to put that record down, many Christians believe that what we have in Mark's Gospel is Mark writing down the record of Peter's account of the life, death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. One very brief, just last little picture. Mark chapter 14, verse 51. The only gospel that gives us this little story. Remember I told you that John Mark, was brought up in Jerusalem. His mother, Mary, perhaps a wealthy woman, who had a house where Christians would meet. When Jesus was arrested and taken away, he's on his way to the cross to lay down his life as a ransom for many. Mark is the only one who gives us this little account. Page 899 in my Bible. "A certain young man followed Jesus, having a linen cloth thrown around his naked body. And the young men laid hold of him." As they arrested Jesus, they went to grab this young man. "And he left the linen cloth, they grabbed his cloth, and he fled from them naked." Who was the young man who they tried to grab as they arrested Jesus and who ran away? Now, I can't tell you for absolute certainty, but many people believe John Mark. John Mark would run away when Jesus was arrested. John Mark who ran away and went home on the first missionary journey with Paul. So it could be there was that link there. John Mark was under pressure, likely to turn tail. But God restored him. See, you may be here this morning, you may be saying in your mind, "Oh, I've let God down. I've let Jesus down in my life. And I've done things that I should never have done. Can God, in grace, forgive me? Can God restore me? Could I be useful in the kingdom of God?" And I'm saying, one of the gospel writers in the New Testament, one of the four gospels we have about the life of Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, well, Mark is written by someone who God cleanses and restores and forgives and saves and makes so useful in the kingdom of God that he becomes someone who writes the gospel record. God breathes out his word by his spirit, but through Mark, who writes that account down. So the first lesson that we have from this man's life is restoration. He had a serious problem, Mark. Certainly, on Paul's missionary journey, when he was with Barnabas, his cousin, it was John Mark who went back to Jerusalem. Perhaps he was afraid of the journey and its difficulties. Perhaps he was a bit disgruntled, a bit unhappy that Paul was taking the lead in this missionary endeavour over John Mark's cousin, Barnabas. It seems to me that the most likely explanation as why John Mark went back to Jerusalem without reporting anything to the church at Antioch, who had sent them out, was that John Mark was uncomfortable with the Gentile nature of the mission. as a Jew, he was used to evangelism amongst Jewish people. But here now, Paul and Barnabas are preaching the gospel to Gentiles, to non-Jews. And I wonder if it was that which made him doubt his calling. I think that is likely because of what we read in Acts chapter 14 and verse 27. What we read there is that when Paul and Barnabas finished their journey, they gathered the church together, they reported all that God had done with them, and that he, that is God, had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. See, this was something new. Something we, as I guess Gentiles, everyone here this morning, don't fully perhaps grasp at first, that here was something radically different in the New Testament. The gospel being preached indiscriminately to all sorts of people, not just Jews, but Gentile people from all sorts of different places in the world. So when Paul says that John Mark abandoned him and Barnabas in the work, what was the work? Well, the work was opening the door of faith to the Gentiles. That's like the summary of what they were doing. It may be that John Mark had been brought up in Jerusalem, perhaps like Peter, had struggled with this idea that the gospel now was going to be opened up to Gentiles as well as Jews, and that he just couldn't cope and went back to Jerusalem rather than continue with the missionary journey. A sort of New Testament Jonah. Remember God told Jonah, go to Nineveh? What did Jonah do? Got in a boat? Went in the opposite direction. So you may be here this morning, you feel God's calling on your life, but you're struggling. God is saying this way, and you are saying, no, my way. The opposite. But that's a bad idea. Jonah found it was a very bad idea to try and run away from God. John Mark found it was a very bad idea when God was calling him to serve. We'll find the ways in which God used him. But to go back to Jerusalem was a bad idea. In my own life, I struggled for a long time before I became a Christian. God's call on my life. But a sovereign God who speaks through his word and by his spirit, if God is God and he's calling you, I'm saying God isn't calling you to harm you, but for your best. Don't fight against God. Obey. Follow God who speaks by his word and spirit. It may be though that Mark had this blip. We don't know how long it took for Mark to be spiritually restored, but we do know he overcame his prejudices and he was restored. God drew him back and he was re-equipped for the ministry. I'm saying this morning then, whether you're not a Christian and God is calling you, or you are a Christian and God is calling you in a certain way, seeking you that you live for him in a certain direction, learn from John Mark. Rather than struggling and fighting against God, trust him. Rather than running away from God, to run to the Lord in faith and trust for cleansing, for restoring grace. If you've been wandering away from God, John Mark is saying to you, it's time to come back. It's time to recommit your life to God. And it's a wonderful thing, I think, that it is John Mark, inspired by the Holy Spirit, who writes an account for us of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. A failed servant in the service of Christ, John Mark. Someone who caused trouble even between Paul and Barnabas. It's John Mark who God restores and re-equips to give us a wonderful picture of the perfect servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. The servant of the Lord. Who never disobeyed, never failed. Never ran away from God's calling in his life. So when Mark sums up the mission of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, did not come to be served, but to serve. Not to be served, but to serve. And to give his life a ransom for men. God uses John Mark, with all his failures, to write a perfect account for us of the perfect servant of the Lord. Restoring grace. God can restore you this morning. Never say, I'm so far away from God, God could never cleanse me. God could never do anything for me. God could never bring me back. God's grace reaches out to you this morning. There's a way back to God for you. Restoration. Second lesson I want to learn is flexibility. If I'm right about John Mark as a Jew struggling with this offer of the gospel to Gentiles, when I pick up my Bible and I read the account of the gospel according to Mark. Mark is Gentile. Isn't that interesting? It's not the gospel according to John Mark, Jewish and Gentile name, but Mark. And you know, after his restoration, increasingly what we find is this young man is not referred to as John or John Mark. He's referred to, after his restoration, increasingly as Mark, his Gentile name. In other words, that the grace of God so changes this young man's life that he's willing now, for the sake of the gospel, not just to preach the gospel to Gentiles, but he's willing to put aside his Jewish name for the sake of the gospel and use primarily his Gentile name to reach out with the gospel. That's what God does in a person's life. So if God has changed you, not sinning, of course, I'm not talking about sinning, but John Mark is willing to be as flexible as he can be to reach out with the gospel to people now who are Gentiles. Because God has changed his heart. And your message here in this church must be the same message as Paul, Barnabas, and John Mark. Their message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I'm saying we must try and be as flexible as we can be within the God-ordained boundaries to reach out to people with that message to people all around this morning. And I guess if London is anything like Sheffield, and I guess it is, people from all sorts of backgrounds, all sorts of nationalities, all sorts of circumstances, and you're saying, how can we effectively reach out with the gospel? John Hudson Taylor went to China. He did something revolutionary. No Western missionary had done this before. When Hudson Taylor went to China, it was the custom at that time in China for the men to grow their hair in a long pigtail down their back. So when Hudson Taylor went to China to reach out to people around him, what did he do? He grew his hair in a long pigtail down his back. And all the other missionaries said to Hudson Taylor, Hudson Taylor, what on earth are you doing? And he said, if I can paraphrase what he was trying to say, he was saying to them, I am being as flexible as I can be to reach out with the gospel to these people all around me. So he dressed like a Chinese man. He grew his hair like a Chinese man. When he and his wife would walk out in the street together, it was the custom at that time for, you know, if I went for a walk with Wendy, my wife yesterday, this in the park, we would walk hand in hand together. But it was not the custom in China at that time. The men would walk together, and the women would walk behind them together. I encountered this myself. Karen was asking me about Morocco last night, about a time I visited Morocco. I can never forget, there was this big, huge fellow. I asked for directions in Morocco. We were a bit lost in the street one night. And he said, "Oh, I'll show you the way." And he took my hand. What is happening here with this man taking my hand? I thought we were going to get arrested or something. But it was just the custom. See, two men would walk together, and then if there were two women, they would walk arm in arm together behind. So Hudson Taylor told his missionaries, when you walk out as a little group, men, you walk together, like the Chinese people. Women, walk together, like the Chinese people. Eat the food like the Chinese people around you. Live amongst them. Dress like they dress. Now, not sin. He didn't want them to do anything that was sinful, if there had been sinful customs. No. But what I'm saying, he was saying, let's be as flexible as we can be to reach out with the gospel. That's the lesson I'm trying to draw out. And I think there is evidence in the life of John Mark that he did that with his own name. He didn't want to take the gospel to Gentiles, but when God changed his heart and he saw that the gospel was for everyone, he was willing for the cause of the gospel, if it was necessary, to put aside his Jewish name and use his Gentile name. So he's writing his gospel for whom? Primarily, probably, Christians in Rome. Gentiles, primarily. A gospel full of action. Immediately this happens, and then this happens, and immediately this, and then this. That sort of gospel, Mark. Short, compressed, quick, action. And so when he writes his gospel, the gospel according to Mark. A Gentile name, as he uses it for Gentile people. Okay, one last thing. And that is to serve the Lord. If you're a Christian this morning, serving God. Now, what sort of work did John Mark do? Not a preacher. Not a preacher like Paul. Not a preacher like Apollos. Bring John Mark with you, Paul says, Timothy. He'll be useful to me for ministry. He'll do 1,001 things that will be helpful for me as an apostle to carry out my function that God has given me to do. Probably the gospel that he writes is the record of Peter's eyewitness memory of the life, death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But see, John Mark doesn't say, oh well, you know, the only important thing is the public up front row. We can get a false sacred secular divide if we're not careful. If you're a very holy person, you'd be a missionary. Not quite as holy person, be a preacher. If you're, you know, just a very unholy person, just get a job somewhere. Now that's a wrong way of thinking, isn't it? John Mark shows us that's a wrong way of thinking. You're in that factory tomorrow, you're in that shop, you're in that office, you're in that school, you're in that university. Whatever it is, there to live for Jesus Christ, there to serve him. There's no secular, sacred divide. And in all the 1,001 things that John Mark did for the Apostle Paul, he did them to show us that God used him to serve, and his role, he could never have been a Paul, John Mark. But he writes a gospel account. He helps Paul in such a way that Paul writes New Testament letters for us. He was faithful in little. And as a result, God made him faithful in much. As a church member here, how are you serving the Lord Jesus Christ? Something God is calling you to do? And you say, oh, I haven't got the time. It's just a little thing. Just a small thing, insignificant. No one will notice. God notices. I'm saying, use what gifts God has given you to serve. Mark challenges us all this morning. With all our faults and failures, it's possible for you. Even if you've drifted away, it's possible for you to be restored. It's possible for you to be useful in the kingdom of God. Be as flexible for the gospel as you can be. To reach out with this good news that people around so desperately need. And I'm saying, look for a way to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. As I was growing up, there was this little phrase I used to hear a lot. Perhaps we should hear it more often. That a Christian is someone who is saved to serve. You ever heard that? Saved to serve. And John Mark is a good example of that. God has saved you this morning by his grace. Well, serve him. Use the gifts that God has given you to serve him. In ways that are big or small, however it is, but to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And John Mark, restored, flexible, faithful in service, teaches us this morning something about how the grace of God reaches out to you and to me too. Let's pray together, and then we'll sing together. Let's pray first. Lord, we thank you this morning for the gospel of your grace, which reaches down to us and draws us back. Some, Lord, who've never known the power of that grace before, to be drawn for the first time to know the cleansing and power, the forgiveness of grace of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. And for some perhaps who've begun to wander away, to be restored back. And we pray, Lord, that you will help the leaders and the members of this church to be as flexible as they can be as they seek to reach out with the gospel. And that you will use everyone to serve you. That whatever gifts you've given, that they'll be laid down before the Lord Jesus Christ to serve him. The Saviour who came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Help us to follow him, to serve too in every area of life. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.